you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everyone, I'm JJ Stankovitz and welcome into a preview edition of the Under Center podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. My guest today is NBC Sports Philadelphia Eagles reporter Dave Zangaro, who joins me to explain why Jordan Howard is fit in well in the Eagles offense and why the 2000 Kansas City Chiefs will have such a massive influence over Sunday's game at Lincoln Financial Field. All that and more on the Under Center podcast starting right now.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
And what more can you say?
All right, Dave, let's start here. What has been the vibe about Jordan Howard in the Eagles facility this week? I understand you haven't had a chance to talk to him as we're recording here on Friday, but how are he and the Eagles approaching him facing his old team that cast him aside back in March?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we do talk to Jordan, he's going to say all the right things, that it's just a normal game, that he doesn't have any extra motivation. And we all kind of know that's crap, right? I mean, we know that guys, when they face their former teams, especially in a situation where you were traded for basically a bag of footballs, that you're going to want to prove something to your former team. So he can say whatever he wants. I think it's going to mean something to him. And he's played pretty well this year. You know, early in the season, the Eagles tried to, like, force-feed Miles Sanders. They drafted the kid in the second round. But it's been more Jordan Howard heavy recently. And he's earned the reps. He's earned the carries. He's not having a great season, but he's been really reliable. He's been consistent. He falls forward, which is something the rookie hasn't really learned how to do. He's had a good season. And he has a chance here to make himself some money this year in the last year of his contract. I don't know if it'll be here or elsewhere, but he's off to a pretty decent start.
I think one of the reasons why the Bears moved on from him was that he wasn't a pass-catching threat, and they at least wanted that out of the backfield. But how have you seen Doug Peterson either scheme him into catching passes or, if not, use Miles Sanders to be in that role?
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise that it's not Howard's strength. He's not a great pass catcher, but there have been times where they've put him in situations where he's had to catch the ball. He had one drop earlier in the year. It was a pretty bad drop, but he also caught a 20-yard touchdown pass. So he's been okay in that area. Miles Sanders has really exceeded all expectations as a pass catcher. I mean, this guy didn't catch any passes in college, and he's come in the NFL, and he's been their best downfield threat, which is good for him and bad for the offense in general, but these guys really seem to complement each other. Miles is shiftier. He's a threat out of the backfield. Jordan's kind of the ground pound guy. Now, that doesn't mean they don't use the other guy for, you know, sometimes Jordan Howard will catch the ball. Sometimes he will run stretch plays, and sometimes Miles Sanders will run it up the gut. But they clearly have their roles, and they are pretty complementary.
Speaking of ex-Bears, we here in Chicago all saw that report that Alshon Jeffrey might have been the guy who was saying some bad things about Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz to ESPN. How did that whole thing blow over in the locker room? Have they moved on from it? Is it an issue at all for this team right now?
I think that the biggest – so if we go to the actual criticism didn't make any sense. It was that Carson Wentz is checking down – not enough. Like the criticism was that he needs to check down more, which if you watch the Eagles, that hasn't been their issue at all. And then you start to, like, it was a whole thing here for a couple of weeks. Like, well, why would Alshon Jeffrey say that? That sounds like something that, you know, it just goes on and on. You're never going to know who the source was. Only two people in the world really know that, right? It's the source and the reporter. So if it was Alshon, which is kind of, if it isn't him, it's been really unfair because everyone kind of thinks it's him, you know, but he hasn't, he hasn't really said it wasn't him, but he kind of has intimated that. Anyway, the comments itself weren't troubling. The fact that this is the third time in a calendar year someone has said something out of school, that's a little more of a problem. And it's a problem that Doug Peterson addressed with his team. He kind of preaches this whole family mentality, we're a family. And then you have three times in a calendar year someone going outside of that and venting their frustration. So that's a bigger problem. As far as Alshon, I think the bigger problem with him right now is the production's not there. I know we had a calf injury earlier in the year, but without Deshaun Jackson, they've really kind of leaned on him. I know he's played some good corners. They had, you know, Xavier Rose, Byron Jones, some really good cornerbacks, Tre'Davious White last week. So, and he's getting the other team's best corner every week, but he's got to start winning some of those battles. He hasn't helped this team enough this year, and that, to me, is a bigger problem right now.
So I want to go back to the whole issue with the locker room having some leaks coming out of it, but, you know, Doug Peterson seems like he's found a way to keep this team afloat through all of that. I think it's interesting because, you know, in Chicago, we're now talking about how can Matt Nagy keep this locker room together? And, you know, the answer is that, well, they don't have any turds in that locker room. The Eagles maybe have a couple turds if they're talking to, you know, ESPN and kind of, like you said, talking out of school, Dave. But it seems like Doug Peterson has been able to manage that. How has he been able to keep this team together and still in playoff contention in the playoffs last year despite these quote-unquote distractions?
Yeah, it really goes back to his first year here. We learned that about Doug Peterson really quickly. In that 2016 season, Lane Johnson got suspended for 10 games. Then Josh Huff got released during the season, the receiver, because he had a gun going across the bridge and got arrested. There have been multiple incidents over the last, you know, 4 years he's been the head coach. But he's done a really good job keeping this team together, and I think it is a respect factor. At times you can argue maybe he's not a big enough disciplinarian and guys kind of feel like they can take advantage, but it's kind of like dad, right? Dad might not yell at you, but he's disappointed and that hurts worse. I think that's kind of what Doug Peterson uses, but the other thing is that he really relies on his veterans. This has been something he's done since he's been here, and it's worked really well. He has a veteran council, a group of, you know, 8 to 10 players, veterans who are respected in the locker room, and they meet with Doug Peterson every week. They kind of go over what's going on in the locker room, and he really puts a lot on their plates to kind of take control of the locker room, manage the culture. And last week they actually had a players-only meeting, and sometimes those get overblown, and sometimes they're not the best thing. And if you have to have one, things are probably going badly. But it was the first one they've had in at least 6 years in Philadelphia. And it's all because Doug kind of lets the veterans do what they think is best. He puts a lot of trust in them. And if you have good veterans, that certainly works.
Before we continue with our Bears-Eagles preview, remember, fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters, Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years. So the Bears had a players-only meeting last week, too. Seems like usually teams that aren't doing too well are the ones that have those. But what came out of that players-only meeting? What was sort of the vibe you got about it in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think similar situations in that both teams were reeling a little bit. I think the Eagles situation might have been a little different because it was less about football and more about distractions. It was more about kind of, we have to focus in, we have to just worry about ourselves and not anyone else. And they kind of sometimes play the same chords on the guitar, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they'll play the us versus them type of thing. They'll play the, they still go back to the underdogs theme, which is kind of silly at this point, but it seems to work for them. They play the hits. And it's really whatever gets them motivated to go out and play better. And that's kind of what came out of the meeting. I think the big theme, if there was one, was accountability. And you just have to be accountable for your own actions. And we'll see if that works. I mean, they got one big win off of it, but there's a tough stretch coming for them here.
How much does Doug Peterson still talk about the influence Andy Reid has on him in terms of how he manages a locker room?
Yeah, it's big. They are different. I think Doug took what Andy did and then made it his own. The one noticeable difference, just yesterday, we were in the locker room and Doug came walking through. He makes it a point to be in the locker room at times, and this might sound like a subtle difference, but Andy Reid was never in the locker room. I never once saw Andy Reid in the locker room. He thought that was the player's space. So there are some subtle differences, but Doug makes it a point to kind of take what Andy did and build off of it. And just, you know, with their history, and I'm sure Matt Nagy does it too, it's like impossible. His whole coaching background is Andy Reid. So there are moments where, you know, a few weeks ago, Doug said, I look back at the 2015 Chiefs team. It's just everything in their coaching backgrounds somehow relates to Andy Reid. And it's not just his two guys. I mean, it's a community of, what, like 10 coaches? It's kind of insane how big this coaching tree is. And it was actually funny. Doug Peterson got asked this week, you know, how much do you lean on that coaching tree? Like, do you talk to those guys? And he said in the off season, they do talk a lot. And it's not just about football. It's actually less about football and more about how to control a locker room, how to build a culture. So these guys have all kind of shared tips on what works best for them in their cities.
That 2015 Chiefs team might have the biggest influence over this Bears-Eagles game, because Matt Nagy talked about it a lot this week too. Obviously, that team was 1-5, wound up winning 10 games in a row, making the playoffs. What did Doug Peterson say he took away from that team?
Yeah, it was just a kind of a way to put something on the board and say, if this team could do it, this team could come back from this deficit weekend too. I thought it was kind of strange that he used it though, because the Eagles were 4-6 last year. I mean, the Eagles statistically last year had a 7.5% chance to make the playoffs, and they did. So for him to like dig back into the archive and go to 2015 Chiefs, it was like, just look at last year, man. You don't have to go back that far. But that's just the message, I think, when you look at a team like the 2015 Chiefs or the 2018 Eagles, is that as bad as things look, you still have a chance. You don't really control your own destiny, because a lot of things have to happen for you, but if you do take care of your business, you give yourself a chance, and that's really all you can do when you get in a hole like that.
All right, so let's get back into the matchups of this game on Sunday between the Bears and the Eagles. What is the state of the Eagles' secondary right now?
A lot better than it was. There was some sketchy times there for a while, and it's a lot better than it was last year when these two teams faced off in the wild card game. What you're going to be looking at this week is Ronald Darby on one side, Jalen Mills on the other, and Avante Maddox in the slot. Last year, I believe it was Rasul Douglas outside, Avante Maddox outside, and Craven LeBlanc in the nickel spot. So things have definitely changed. Only one starter is the same, and he's not even playing in the same location. So the Eagles feel pretty good about their secondary, these two guys, Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills. They played well last week. Last week was their first time together since week 3 of the 2018 season. Both had season-ending injuries last year. They're not great corners. I mean, they're not Pro Bowl-caliber players, but they're the best the Eagles have, and they're finally healthy.
All right, a quick timeout to remind you that you can pull off a Chicago sports triple header on Sunday. Immediately following the Bears game, we'll have the Football After Show live on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. That's with Lawrence Holmes, Owen Kreutz, Alex Brown, Matt Forte, Lance Briggs. They do a great job breaking down the Bears and Eagles game. And then at 4 p.m., the Bulls and Pacers tip off on NBC Sports Chicago. And then immediately following the Bulls game, we'll have the Blackhawks and the Ducks also on NBC Sports Chicago. Be sure to subscribe to the Bulls Talk and Blackhawks Talk podcasts and check out Casey Johnson's take on the Bulls and Charlie Rue Meliotis' take on the Blackhawks on NBCSportsChicago.com and the My Teams app. On the other side of the ball, what should the Bears' defense expect from Carson Wentz?
He's been very efficient this year. He hasn't really challenged downfield as much. He hasn't even given Alshon those 50-50 balls. He's been very efficient. He hasn't turned the ball over very much. And he's just been really smart about his play. And at times he still does make the wow play. You know, at times he'll look like he's tackled for a 10-yard loss and he'll evade it, he'll escape, and he'll throw on the run. There are still those magic plays that he's kind of been known for. Overall, he's not like back to that level we saw in 2017 where he was probably going to be the MVP. He hasn't been back to that, but he's still been a very good quarterback.
So just generally speaking, as you've kind of dove into this, what's your sense of the Eagles' opportunity ahead of them against the Bears on Sunday?
I think they actually match up pretty favorably to the Bears. Another place I'll be watching is the Eagles are starting a rookie left tackle right now because Jason Peters has been out. A good rookie left tackle. It was a 22nd pick. But I would imagine the Bears are going to want to see Khalil Mack on him as much as they can. I would certainly do that. So that's a matchup to kind of watch in this game. That might be a weak spot. Overall, I kind of think the Eagles match up pretty well against the Bears, especially at home. And it's their last game before the bye. The only thing you wonder is hopefully they're not looking ahead if you're the Eagles and they're not waiting for that bye week and that vacation in the sun. But if I look at just the matchup, I think the Eagles have a really good shot to win this game. But the Bears will be in. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think anyone's expecting a blowout here.
Last one for you, Dave. You wrote about how the Eagles are lucky to have Jake Elliott, who, by the way, is a local kid from Chicago, as the Bears continue to have kicking disaster after kicking disaster. Has there been anyone bringing up the double doink in Philadelphia? Probably not in, you know, the facility, but just around the city, has that been kind of a talking point this week of, hey, remember when we won a playoff game because the Bears kicker had doinked it off two uprights?
I've been bringing it up. I don't know if anyone else has. To me it's just a weird situation, and I've kind of watched this Bears kicking situation from afar, and I don't know what the feeling is in Chicago, but I just don't think they could have botched this entire thing anymore. And in my story I wrote that, like, you know, NFL teams don't want to think about their kicker. If an NFL team, if the head coach never thinks about his kicker for a 16-game season, things are going pretty well. And it seems like Matt Nagy does an awful lot of thinking about his kicker. Sometimes deservingly so, sometimes not. But it's just an interesting situation to be in this week because you look at the Eagles and, no, Jake Elliott's not, like, the best kicker in the league, but he's solid. They have a system in place where the kicker, long snapper, punter have been together now for 2-3 years. And you look at Chicago and you're like, man, it seemed like they finally started to get it together. And then last week happened. And now that's like the highest pressure sports job in the world right now is being the Chicago Bears kicker. And I think a lot of that was created by the head coach. I don't know. I don't know about the Chicago media. Has that been kind of the thought there too?
To an extent. This week's controversy feels a little more self-inflicted. I will say that the narrative that Matt Nagy cared too much about his kicker during the preseason really was not super accurate. He was on a totally different field than where the kickers were practicing. It's kind of easy to get that impression given, you know, all the stories that were written about it, but Nagy is a guy who does not want to care about his kicker. I think that actually might have come back to bite him on Sunday where Eddie Pinheiro missed that kick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point. If that was a weird situation, right? I mean, and then his staunch defense of it didn't help him at all.
It did not.
At least from afar. Yeah.
No, it did not. Where the fact that I just wrote about this on Thursday, a kick that happened on Sunday, because there are so many layers to it, goes to show that maybe, I don't know, maybe this position's cursed. Maybe Robbie Gould put a curse on it after he left.
Cody Parkey's available. Actually, no, he isn't. He's in Tennessee.
No, he's in Tennessee. Bears-Titans in 2020. Not that you would care about that, Dave. Anyways, where can the people find your work online and on social media?
Yeah, just NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, and I am at DZangaro NBCS.
Great stuff, Dave. And friend of the podcast back on for, I believe, the third time. So maybe we'll see you down the road, although I'm not quite sure the Bears are going to be playing the Eagles in the playoffs this year.
Well, I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. All right, thanks, Dave. All right, before I get out of here, remember to rate and review us wherever you're listening to the podcast, and you can tweet your thoughts on the podcast or the Bears or block me for whatever stupid pun I just made on Twitter at JJ Stankovitz. The Football After Show guys will be back with a fresh podcast reacting to Sunday's game, ready for your Monday morning commute, and Cam Ellis and I will be in Philadelphia to cover every angle of what goes down on Sunday. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Under Center podcast, brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281.